Well, pardon the quality of the recording. I mean, it was a very nice recording. It wasn't distorted or anything, but obviously it doesn't do it justice to what was actually done in 2002. I wonder, Dave, was I SMC that year? Did I direct that? You don't remember? I think I might have. I really liked that piece. It seemed like something I might have done. I don't know. Anyway, let me ask you a couple questions here. We understand the Spirit of God. It's not part of the Trinity. It's not a person. We understand that. We get that. The Spirit of God gives each one of us what the Bible calls fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. Well, it also gives us, as was brought up in the opening message, repentance. God uses it. You know, it's the mind, it's the power of God. God uses the Holy Spirit, it's an it, by the way, to grant us repentance so that we can understand and see ourselves and ultimately be converted. It gives us the ability to develop God's character. And so many more things that the Holy Spirit does with us. But here's the question. Those are pieces, parts, elements of what the Holy Spirit does. If you were to take a look at, biblically now, if you were to take a look at what does the Holy Spirit actually do, what is it doing overall? What is it doing? What is God using the Holy Spirit, His power, His mind, to do? Well, why would God take the investment to give the power of creation to humans? Now, even though we haven't talked about it this way, it's pretty clear that when you take a look at the Bible and it starts with the book of Genesis, which means beginnings, that what God is doing by using the book of Genesis as the first book you can read of the Bible, that He's trying to get across to us what He's doing. You know, He could have started the Bible out with Satan's rebellion, or Lucifer's rebellion, which we find in Ezekiel and in Isaiah, but we don't find that at the beginning of the Bible. Why don't we find that? Why is Job the oldest book in time order? It was written way before the Decalogue, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five books written by Moses. Job was written far before that. Why isn't that the first book? Is there something in the beginning of the Bible to tell us what God's doing? Now, you know, we've heard this and heard this and heard this. This time we're going to try to deal with something. Let me just help you. Today, if you are one of those people, I'm going to tell you what to do, but if you are one of those people who only writes down the verses, thank you, but you will have verses that don't seem to be related unless you look at how they're strung together. Here a little, there a little. We learn from God's Word by putting it together. And taking verses individually sometimes doesn't work. So if that's all you're going to write down, okay, thank you for doing that, but you will actually grow by doing it a little differently. Actually kind of consider how they fit together as we're going to look at this. The concept that God is Creator continues from the beginning of the Bible. It continues on and reveals His plan for mankind. And you know that. It's nothing new to you. And how, you know, in minute detail, how we are to interact with Him in fulfilling His plan. But He is always creating. And He does that until we see all things made new. You will find a thread from Genesis to Revelation about creating. The Bible is about many things. Many, many things. But overall, it's God's Word about His creation plan. For more of His family members to be created. how God creates is personally important to you because it is how you were brought to understand as much as you do now, and it is how you will be ultimately changed into a fully spirit being. How does that happen? Right? Which you, by the way, were initially created to become. This is the reason you were born. So today we're going to see how God works out His plan by the creation power, the Holy Spirit. There's your title, the creation power. It is also called the mind of Christ, or the power of God, but it is the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit, it's the creation power, and it is not an individual, but it is, point one of 3 points, the Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. That's the first thing to know. The Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. Now, let me tell you, if you understand that you're relating to God through the Holy Spirit, that's great. If you understand what you're supposed to do about that, that's great. But if you understand that God's making new beings, new lives, that helps us to understand how we are to interact with Him personally. So it's very, very important to understand that God is using the Holy Spirit as an agent of creation. And let's discuss that for a second before we go into it. A creation, what's that mean? What is creation about? Well, we as human beings think we're creators. I just made this painting. Look what I created. Well, wait a minute. Did you make the canvas, which was made out of animal skins or plants? Did you actually create paint? Did you? But I created this music. Really? Did you? The ability to create sound waves, the ability to interpret those are mental things that are given to us. We didn't create the brain, the ear. So what do we do when we're saying human beings are saying, I'm a creator, I created things? We're actually gathering together what already exists to make something that didn't in that way. In other words, we're taking things that already exist and making another thing. We're modifying it. God does that too. He takes things that already exist and modifies them and creates new things. However, God also brings into existence things that never work. So there's two kinds of creation. There's creation where you modify what already exists, and then there is creation that's brand new, totally new. And by the way, that's really important to what is happening in you with the Holy Spirit. You are not being modified. You're not being taken from the old person and being cleaned up and fixed. You are being created brand new, a brand new life in you. All right, let's take a look at all this. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. Genesis 1, good place to start, because, you know, we'll go all the way through to Revelation. No, we won't. Okay, Genesis 1.
I've been there before, I know the story.
Okay. Well, you know, we accentuate everything in Genesis 1 and 2 and understand how God created the universe and all things in it, and then it became without form and without void in Hebrew, and ultimately then He comes and recreates it in verse 2. However, there's something here that we kind of read over. And isn't that important after all? It's just there. God just threw it in. Okay? Galatians. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning. This is the beginning of the Bible. And in the beginning. He's saying, well, before there ever was anything, God created the heavens and the earth. So He made the heavens and He made the earth out of nothing. There was nothing there and He made it. Verse 2. And the earth became without form, without void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So obviously it had become corrupted. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Or in King James it says brooding, but it's, hovering is the right word. So from then on, as we go through the first book, we see creation happening by the word of God. Let there be light, right? Let the land be separated from the oceans. But it's by the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's a creating element, or the creating element of God's mind. But why is he doing that? Why? Okay, Luke 1. Luke, the first chapter, why is God creating using the Holy Spirit? Let's get the why first, and we'll talk about what to do about it and understand exactly how it is that it actually works. All right? Luke 1, let's go down here and just... There are well over 50 scriptures dealing with this specifically, so get ready. No, I'm not going to give you 50 scriptures, but there, that's how many there are. Luke 1, verse 30. Luke 1, verse 30. Now, remember that the Holy Spirit can actually allow people, humans, you'll see this in a little bit, allow people to change the physical creation. But look here first. Why is he creating? Okay, verse 30. And the angel said to Mary, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. It will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can that be? I don't know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." So the Holy Spirit is creating here, and did create, a human being. God does it through the Holy Spirit. Watch our language here. The Holy Spirit is not a person. Now, lest we get off the track, I want to add something here for a second. This isn't the only instance in the Bible where we see the Holy Spirit creating human life, being used by God to create human life. You know where the other place is? The second resurrection. You see physical human beings being assembled to come up in the second resurrection, and God putting the spirit that they have been stored, you know, after they die, and went back to him. Excuse me, he's kept it. Ecclesiastes 3 says so. And then he puts it back in them. Now, that is not to say that Jesus Christ is a created being. That's nonsense. He isn't like human beings who were born and then died and then are resurrected. But it is an example of how the Holy Spirit actually can create a human being. In this case, right here. What's significant here is that Jesus Christ was created as a human being, but he had been eternal and was, had never had a beginning. He had no beginning, had no end, and what? Had an eternal memory, right? So what happened? Well, he gave up. What did he give up? When he lowered himself, what did he give up? He gave up he didn't give up his divinity. He gave up his very being in the Godhead, in the sense that he was not God except as a man. He was submissive now to the Father. This is the deal they had. So he did not give up his ability to be God. He did not give up his ability to become fully God again, but he did not give up his divinity at all. So he was God at the same time as a human being. Does this sound familiar at all? God in a human. Now, don't forget, he was fully God. He actually had been God before. God in a human. Now, in the human beings in the church, that's not like Jesus Christ in that sense, because we don't have an eternity behind us. He did. So that's different. But this is creating life. The Holy Spirit has been used to do that. It's a creator. God uses the Holy Spirit to create. So now, He started creating children way back in Genesis 1. You want to see that? He started creating children. What was He creating? Creating children. He created His own son as a human being. So Genesis 1, go back, please. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Because if you wonder what the Bible is about, here's where it says it. What the Bible is about. This is the kind of thing, if you're just writing the verses down, you can miss. You say, well, no, I'll remember it all. Mm-mm. No, you won't. Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. This is what the Bible's about. This is the headline of the Bible. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, in Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, let's make man in our image. Make, create, man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Why does He keep using the word created? It's because the book of Genesis is the front of the Bible, and He's trying to explain to us in pretty clear terms, He's a creator, and here's what He's doing. He's making man in His image. And it's happening in you. And He's going to continue to create until all those who will have it will be members of the God family. 2 Corinthians. God is going to continue to create. 2 Corinthians 4. And He's going to use the Spirit to do it. See, we can misunderstand what the Spirit's doing. Let's talk about people who aren't here anymore. Let's talk about it for a minute. Maybe that's uncomfortable, but let's bring it up. Is it possible that a human being can look at God as giving them a list of things to do, and then they do those? And they understand what God wants and why He wants it, and they do those things. And then they see themselves over a period of decades even, not changing really, but they just keep doing due diligence. Or is it possible for a human being to say, well, I'll let God change me, and I don't have to do anything? And in both cases, that's an unbalanced approach, obviously. And in both cases, those people aren't here. How come we're here? Well, think about what God says. You have to become as a little child. It seems as though people who are acting as little children and saying, Dad, what do we do now? And He says things like, well, we're going to move to another town and you won't have your friends anymore. Or you have to eat green vegetables today because the whole family's doing it. Or, you know, you're going to have to go to sleep earlier. And you say, I don't want to do those things. But okay. And then you find out it's good for you. That's being like a little child. Instead of saying, you know, if I have to move to the next town and lose all my friends, I think I will now mope about that as long as we're in the next town. Or, I know I won't be able to eat those green vegetables, so I'll just let them get cold on the plate and gag when I'm forced to eat them. Or, you know, I'm not going to really go to sleep early because I'll just lay there in the bed with my eyes open. But I kind of look like I'm doing what you wanted, Dad. Think about yourself as a child. How come people are here today and others aren't? Trusting God to tell you, here's what we're doing, everybody. Looking to Him to tell you what to do. All right. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. He's creating and He's not going to stop. But since we have the same spirit of faith, verse 13. But since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. Now, you know, we could go into 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians and find that, in fact, that happens by God's Spirit. But we already know that anyway. So what's happening here is that human beings are being created into the family of God. And something here is called, what is this? The spirit of faith. As if somehow we needed to understand that the Spirit of God actually causes us to trust Him. I don't want green vegetables, but okay. But okay. That's the Holy Spirit. And as God is creating this new family, this power in human beings changes not only their behavior, but it actually changes their very being. Because we begin, here's what it comes to, we begin to understand what is happening. That's what we're talking about today. Creation by God's creating power, the Holy Spirit. What's actually happening? Now, a kind of a forewarning here. Let's turn over to Ephesians 3. And as we get to Ephesians 3, let me give us a little forewarning. Ephesians 3. It is possible to intellectually, you may not realize this, it is possible to intellectually reject the Holy Spirit and not know it. There are places, biblically, that tell you and I that we in the church, we who are brought to God through the creating power of God through the Holy Spirit, understand what others don't. And if we think, if you study hard enough, if you work hard enough at it, if your friends or your family or your co-workers just could be exposed to enough of the truth that they would understand it, because people can intellectually grasp what's going on, you're denying the power of creation. God decides who understands, and He tells us that. Let's take a look at it, one of the places. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Don't forget, Paul, an apostle, says this. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, because God already has a family, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, meaning in the heart, not just mentally, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, the Spirit of faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ. In other words, others can't know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So it's entirely possible for a human being to not get it. As a matter of fact, it's actually a miracle. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, verse 20, above all that we think or ask according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, so be it. So what's happening then is that human beings are being separated into new beings from this society, from this world, from this place, in this point in history. And new beings are being created, not made over, new ones. This is a unique mind and heart experience. Let's turn back to Matthew 17. In all time, in all societies, throughout all the ages, what we're about to read simply can't possibly be. We know this is allegory. We know this is figurative. We know this isn't literal. This is simply not possible. What we're about to read. I'm telling us all that ahead of time. Because either Christ is a liar, or we just don't give Him enough credit through His power of creation, which can make human life, which can convert a human being into a God being. Matthew 17, verse 20. So Jesus said to them, Matthew 17, 20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. But that's just not possible. We know that's allegory, right? We know that's figurative. We know that's not literal. All the things around that, all of the scriptures all the way up until that verse and all of them after it are all real and literal and actual. But that's not real. Or is it? What have we got ourselves into? Or what is really going on? What did God put into us? What's actually happening? What He put into us is the power that causes the stars to glow, life to come into lifelessness, creation to come from nothing. His mind. When God tells us, let's turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. When God tells us, Ephesians 4, when He says to us, that we're being created into His family by Him. We're being created. When He says that, He doesn't mean rehashed, rebuilt, new wine into old wineskins. None of that. He says we're actually new, created. Or, this is all, again, allegory and poetry and figurative. One of these things is true. This is new life in you, therefore new lives in us. Ephesians 4, verse 20. Ephesians 4, 20. Ephesians 4, 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Indeed, if you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man. The old man. Which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Either there's a new being, or there's not. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. See, if God works in me enough, and I respond to Him enough, my conversion will change me, a sinning being, into a righteous being. Or is He making a new being in the first place? Remember, I gave a sermon 2 weeks ago about, will you be an individual in the kingdom? What of you remains with this new being? Everything that is not sin. That's what. But we are carnal. Sold under sin. Okay, let's keep going. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. Excuse me, is there a 5:17? Looking at the wrong one. 2 Corinthians. Oh, I'm in 1 Corinthians. That's the reason. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature, Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he's creating that. He's making that happen by his Holy Spirit. Now remember what we saw in Genesis 1:26? How he says, I want to make, let's make, between us, he, the Father and the Son. Let's go ahead and, or define between the Father and the Logos. Let's go ahead and make man in our image. All right. Well, let's see. Does that show up in the New Testament anywhere? Colossians 3. Does it actually show up anywhere in the New Testament? Because that's an Old Testament concept. You know, just, you know, that's how you kind of talk to those people who herd sheep. All right. Colossians 3, verse 9. Colossians 3, 9. This kind of, the way it starts out, kind of masks the importance of it because it's talking about how we should deal with each other. Anyway, Colossians 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another. Don't lie. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, but then verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the what? Image of him who created him. We see the Spirit doing that. You are being created new according to the image of God. And it's in the New Testament that explains it that way. So that's the first thing, that the Holy Spirit is shown by God to be creating, and it is the agent of creation that is used by God. It's not a person. It's the power. It's the mind of Christ. It's the power of God family. It is how he interacts with you. You know, when you back out of the garage today, and it's a bad, very bad analogy, but just the thought. We backed out of the garage today on the way to services. We have a little prayer before we leave, and then we back out, right? I press the remote control. Boom. Didn't see anything. You know, no light rays, no thunder from the skies, nothing. But the garage door went down. Made an action. I mean, go like that. Made an action. It's like that. Not really like that, but like that. The idea is the mind of God reaches out. It's God touching you, living in you. It's the mind of Christ. That's why we said by Christ we overcome. So, second point. The Holy Spirit is being made available now to move creation forward. Creation in a very real way was treading water until the Holy Spirit was made available on Pentecost. Mankind was being shown without the Holy Spirit how good they are at living. Now with the Holy Spirit in his people, we're moving creation forward basically in baby steps. Lest this be confusing, because of the Old Testament comments about get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, cast away all your transgressions. By the way, that kind of language is in Ezekiel 18. So, well, in other words, I can cast away my transgressions and I can get a new heart and a new spirit. You know, David is asking for a new heart, a clean heart. Except he's asking for the Spirit not to be taken from him. He's asking God for it. Well, why is that kind of language in the Old Testament? It's because God's desire is for us to desire His Spirit. And He was telling Israel, look, I would like you to not die. I want you to live. And He kept telling them that until He got to this place, Ezekiel 37. Let's turn to Ezekiel 37. That may help understand how only when you have the Holy Spirit, only then can creation of the new being, the God being, begin. Only then. You can't will righteousness into you. Language in the Old Testament looks like that until you realize it's what God's saying. I desire for you to desire this to happen. Ezekiel 37, verse 13. That's how important the Holy Spirit coming to you is. Ezekiel 37, 13. Then in verse 13, then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. This is speaking of the second resurrection. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, and I will put my spirit in you. And you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I am the Lord, and have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So he's telling them in the Old Testament, there's a time coming when I will bring you up alive and give you the Holy Spirit. Just not now. Even though I want you to do it and desire it, and I desire for you to desire it, you can't have it now. There's a time coming when that'll happen. When I bring you up from your graves. We could spend a whole study just on this alone, but stop it. I'm not going to get into that right now. Now, humans are created with a God-given potential, to use Mr. Armstrong's language, to become literal children of God. Now, God's language, when he talks about his people, he considers them his children now. Well, I know that. Yeah? Well, he sees us as if we're in his family as glorified beings. He sees us that. Oh, you really? You want to see that? 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. We are set apart from mankind. We're separated from mankind. Yeah, but I kind of like mankind. Okay, hold it. We're separated from mankind because we will be their judges, their rulers, their servants. That's what rulers of God's family are like. We will care for them, love them, give them life, and help them become converted too. But we're set apart from these people who try to overthrow governments and solve problems by having elections that... I'm not going to talk about it. Bottom line to it is, we're really not very bright. Human beings don't know how to fix it. So new lives have to be made. Lives with a capital L. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. In other words, he's not talking to just anybody. He's talking to the church. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me there are people out there, great leaders of the world, and the intellectuals, and the educators, and the theologians, and Joe on the corner, who don't get it? What's this say? Don't, please, don't deny this. Verse 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For they had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. That's how he's creating new life. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit, small s, of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit, capital S, of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, which is just how everybody thinks, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, that we might... Why? Why do we get it? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, meaning others don't have it. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I know how to do this. I will have very good relationships with human beings. I will care for human beings. Because that's what God wants me to do. Remember, you have to become like a little child. God says, you know, you have to go to sleep earlier. Dad says you have to go to sleep early. You have to eat the green vegetables. Yeah, but I know what you really want. You want me to have great relationships with my friends at school. I want you to listen to me first. Lest you think that you know what Christianity is and you think it's because of relationships with human beings and you don't have a personal relationship with the Father through Christ. You are, and I am not a Christian. I want you to think a minute. Every evangelical, every Baptist, every Hindu, every Muslim gets together with the people they know, with doctrines they understand, and they fellowship. Are they God's people? We'll see the answer to that in a little while. Fellowship is a product of what we're looking at here. Fellowship is a product of the relationship with the Father through Christ by the Spirit. Following the Father through Christ by the Spirit. And if we're not doing that, we're just plain bored with what I'm saying. I don't care. Verse 15, but who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. There it is. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. And it's extraordinarily important to know, because what God's doing is building human beings with the mind of Christ, the creative power of the God family. In you. What do I do about this? Well, a couple things. First of all, knowing that the power that causes life to come into being, that will take human beings from human to God, the power that allows human beings to understand that and how to do that is in you, and we can't put it down. We can't reject it, neglect it, think we know more than it or God. So the second thing here, the second major point is that God is enabling the Holy Spirit to be available to humans, some human beings, now, ultimately all who will have it, to make creation move forward. The first thing was that the Holy Spirit is the agent of creation. Second thing is that God's making it available to some human beings to move creation forward. What's the third thing? God's Holy Spirit is creating new eternal lives. Nothing in this life compares or has anything to do with that. But Sally said I was fat. So what does our mind do? Well, I'm not either. Or if I am, I better do something about it. What are we doing? Well, who's going to be president? We got to argue about that. You know, it could be that the beast power will rise up in Europe and we'll be going to a place of safety soon. All right, okay. What's more important than that? All of the individual elements of a relationship with God are overarched by the fact that the Holy Spirit that creates all things is in you. And it's creating a new being. God literally interacts through His Holy Spirit with you individually in a personal relationship if we let Him. Romans 8. Romans is written interestingly, and you'll see in a second what I'm saying. Romans 8, Paul speaking to church at Rome. He's talking about this intimate personal relationship. If we let Him. Through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Now you know when you read this, you apply it to yourself and say, well, that's me. What Paul is saying and what God inspired him to say here is, this is an if-then. If you're led by the Holy Spirit, then you are. And if you don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit because you want to argue with it or deny it or say, you know, well, anybody can have it, stop that, because then you won't be God's child. Verse 14, for as many as are led, meaning they have to voluntarily accept what it's saying, by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. In other words, you're not going back into the world like you were, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Daddy. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The verse in the Bible that tells you, if you understand that a child of God is literally a member of the God family moving forward, being created to move forward with brand new life to ultimately be God too. If you get that, if you understand that, if you're living for that, then you are a child of God. That's what that says. If you have other things that are more important than that, not a child of God yet. It can be fixed. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, meaning just like Him, if indeed we suffer with Him, we have to go through the same things He went through, that we may also be glorified, glorified together. He was glorified, and we'll be glorified together with Him. By the way, we've also talked about how can everybody inherit everything. No, that's my planet. No, that's mine. No, that's mine. It's a completely different mindset, isn't it? The idea that we give everything to everybody in the family. So if we all inherit everything, obviously we're sharing it. Oh, that's communism. No, that's God's family. Selflessness. So we're still in Romans 8. Let's go back to verse 7. Romans 8, verse 7. How's this work? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is an enemy of God. That's me. How about you? But I'm an enemy of God every time I deny the Spirit and not follow God's instruction through the power of creation. The carnal mind is an enemy of God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh can't please God. Well, wait a minute, we're in the flesh. No, that's not what he means. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And the only way for it to dwell in you is for you to accept that it's there and respond. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. It is a creating power that will take you from being a human who doesn't know squat about what's actually happening and turn you into a God. You just read it. And our spirit witnesses with that Holy Spirit, that power of creation, that that's what's happening. And even the church has difficulty saying those things. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit separates and creates new life. Separates humans from humans. So that they become a group of people with new life in them. They're God's people. And they were once trapped in death's way of life. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Trying to keep this as simple, because we could, each one of these points is a complete study. Trying to keep this as simple as we can, because here's why. If we understand what we're fooling with, if we understand that when we want to do our own stuff, when we want to say, well, you know, this is interesting, but, or when we want to say, well, I know what God is really doing, and I don't care to eat my vegetables, I am going to decide right and wrong myself. That's what Adam and Eve did. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Yeah, but you know what? I can just leave this, or any organization of the Church of God, and kind of sit in my living room and be fine, because God and I get along. Verse 20, we'll see about that. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, are you ready? Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. Now you tell me how verse 22 allows people to either fight with each other, disagree with each other, put each other down, or just walk away from each other in his family. How does verse 22 allow that? We are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. The reason we're together is because the Spirit leads us to be. But I don't like the way to do it. I don't care. Listen, you and I can tell stories to each other until the cows come home about how we don't like the way human beings run stuff. For decades, we can talk about that. But we're being built together a habitation of God and the Spirit. Now here, just a speculation. But if we're going to be together forever, do you suppose there's any possibility, just the tiniest infinitesimal possibility, that we might not agree on every last thing during eternity? And what are we going to do about it? All right, quit. You won't be there. I won't be there. Oh, but the Father and Jesus Christ agree on everything. Father, let this cup pass from me. But, nevertheless, your will be done. They don't always agree, but they come to the same process. Yeah, here's what I want to do with that planet. I want it to be covered with mushrooms. Well, not me. I want to make a planet made out of Cadillacs. That's what I want to do, and that's, you know, so I'm right and you're wrong. What, you're nuts. Okay, look, how about we talk? Because we've all inherited all things. What are we learning here? We're learning how to do that. We're learning how to be together forever. Yeah, but I don't like that person. Well, too bad. It's a habitation of God in the Spirit. And the creation arm of the Father and of Jesus Christ, the power of creation, is what's causing this. So I guess that's over now, right? No more disagreements at all. I don't mean that there are any here. But I'm saying, that's why we go through this stuff. So the three things. God's Spirit, one, is shown to be the agent of creation. Two, God's making creation move forward by His Spirit. And three, while creating new eternal lives, God's Spirit is obvious to those He is working with. We know He's there because of His Holy Spirit. The entire process of what God is doing and what we're doing in response to Him is laid out from Genesis to Revelation and is all about what God's creating. That's why He starts off with creation. Not the destruction, but the creation. That's why He starts the Bible off with that. And He starts off by saying, you know, this is how I did it. And you know what? Let's make man in our image. What's that all about? Why is He doing that at the front end? It's because that's what He wants us to get first. And then He goes into the particulars of it. So, God with Christ, by the Holy Spirit, works with us. Yeah, but he's working with me more than that guy. Okay, hold it. Right? He works with us, and he brings us into his family in order to create new lives. Now, let's look at this. Because if we think it's okay to quit or cause trouble or criticize or judge others, God doesn't, and he tells us that. Hebrews 2. Yeah, but then I have to take stuff from other people. Oh, boy. Wow. Isn't that awful? Suffer with Christ? What did he suffer? Oh, nothing. Did he have to suffer people who were sinners? People who didn't care for him? How many converted people were in the church when Jesus Christ was a human being? How many? Anybody know? None. There were none. There wasn't a single converted person on earth, and there never had been other than the prophets and apostles. And the apostles weren't even apostles yet. How did he interact with society, with mankind? The same way he had been acting. He was creating. He kept talking to them about creation, and they didn't want to hear him. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. Yeah. Whoa. Earnest heed. Verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels, which, by the way, is another whole subject, what word was spoken through them, there's a pretty good case to be made for the entire Ten Commandments being spoken by God through angels. But nonetheless, that may not be true. So, that's speculation. But if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How do you neglect it? Neglect it. You know, it's possible to pray and not study. God, give me stuff. It's possible to study and not pray. Oh, I see you. Oh, here it is. I know what the 1,260 days are. And I know what the 1,335 days are. And I know when that starts. But if you pray and you study, and you let God's Spirit lead you, you become a God family member. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to understand, he's not kidding, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, meaning mankind. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. See how he talks? He says, you know, everything's put under him, but then not yet. I just see it put under him. Right? Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, bringing many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. So if we're going to go through life without trials and tribulations and fire, we're not doing what he did. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will sing praise to you. He's here. As a matter of fact, he invited us here. We're not inviting him. He invited us. And again I will put my trust in him, and again I am here I am, and the children whom God has given me. You are the children God has given to Jesus Christ. Is that a Sabbath-only thought? Because after all, I have a life. I have to go make a living. He's a creator. We're going to be like Him. We're going to be Him like Him in Christ. And we're learning to respond favorably and energetically with all our beings to creation of life, which is what we will do. We will do that. Not only in us, this creation power, but for all people who will accept the God family being what they want for all eternity. This great gift of God's creation power is in you. And that's the Holy Spirit, not to be confused with a person. So as Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 3, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.